Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello there, my very good friends, and welcome to Wrestle Culture. Right, is it still going? Why is it still going? John, man, come on.
I like that you did a cold open.
I know.
Right. A cold open and then...
Is that not how this usually works? Is that what...
Like you an episode of Friends. Great.
Is one of you right, going to do a song or something then? Or?
I mean, we just kind of did. Like,
yeah.
We did.
And the SmackDown theme, wasn't
that'll
it?
That'll do. Yeah. We got the wonderful guitar.
Just in case you didn't notice that. Ideal.
You need to tell him what they were. You know, it was very clear what they were.
Right, we're not doing that. Thanks, as always, to John Harrison for the wonderful guitar lick.
Wilbon should never leave us alone.
No, he's gone and done it again, hasn't he? Like, how long ago was the last time we did the first Chaos edition of Wrestle Culture? Was it 3 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago? Something like that?
Something like that.
Yeah. Local law enforcement who only just stopped knocking on the door.
We talked about everything from Roman Reigns potentially leaving to Margaret Thatcher deathmatch or whatever it was.
Children watching people die with light tubes.
Yeah, it was a hell of a time. And today you're going to get a hell of a time as well. I'm Andy Murray, of course. Yes. Also in this room...
I love that you're desperate to try and get this back on track somehow. But even you don't know how to do that.
What's the point, honestly?
Which one am I again?
It's interesting that literally the only man who's capable of holding these things together is the most chaotic man alive, Adam Wilborn. True, yeah. It's something else. I come in here and I'm pretty chaotic myself. I try and hold it together and I'm a disaster. I'm all at sea. I've got arms that are like cooked bits of spaghetti trying to push these buttons. It's mental. Anyway, I'm joined by Phil.
Hi.
And Michael Hamflett.
All right.
Phil has a surname, it's Chambers. we're gonna talk about wrestling, right? So I was gonna write, you know, he's got the wonderful like intro, and you and Sidgwick in particular, Hamflett, do a really good job of reciting it whenever you're filling in on hosting. I was gonna do that this week, but I've just written down a bunch of pish. So if you're a fan of this sort of thing, and why wouldn't you be, you can subscribe all over the place, iTunes.
All over the place, iTunes,
Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts,
HMV.
If you phone up your local corner shop, the guy who works there can probably hook you up as well. Stick it on your mini disc player, down the library, all of that. We do show reviews, previews.
We are in the British Library.
We are.
We talk about. Does it mean you talk about this? Where like every single published artifact is in the British Library.
We
so
are,
you have
yeah.
to get some sort of membership deal. You can't just go in there but you can get access to their reading room. And these somehow are published artifacts. If you live in London and you're a listener, go to the British Library and fire up a What Culture podcast.
Find this specific one. If you are in the British Library and it's 2045 right now, and you're listening to this podcast wondering what the hell happened to our society, well, you found the first part of your answer.
You know what we should do that's just popped into my head? Do you remember back in the day in WWE, you used to be able to ring a number and like Stone Cold will tell you the wrestling news or whatever it was?
Yes.
We should do that, but with like Wilborn will say Iconic, or like Andy Murray will give you the news.
Yeah.
Karrion Kross should do that with his like Jesse Ventura voice, shouldn't it? Like,
that's a great idea.
Get people to read out your birthday. Like, I could do it with Miller. People could do Miller call, and if he was too busy, I'd take it over. But the only thing I can say in my Miller voice is, I don't want to talk about cum. Like, so, unless you want to just ring up and get that every single time as your sort of What Culture telephone cameo.
I agree. That's a great show. We could monetize that and everything. When are we starting cameos, boys? That's the question.
Soon. We can now. We're allowed. Yeah.
We got the freedom.
Yeah. What would we call our calling line? Tony Phone. You ring up, you pay 99p a minute just to listen in on like 40, live 40
bun. Aye. It's all
pamphlet's cameo could be called the Hameo.
Oh, here we
perfect.
Go.
Like money.
Somebody's getting their 50 pences worth there.
We'll have to figure out our prices as well. What's Simon on?
Miller's like £12.
Oh, wow. I was going
to
say.
So he's already set the bar quite low.
I was
going
to put my kids through college with this.
I'm like a tenth as popular as him.
I might go like £1 more expensive than MJF.
I'm realistic about this. I'm gonna like it's gonna upset the cameo apple cart a little bit because I think like the price there's no price that is gonna be reflective for the minimal value that would be a video message from me. Yeah. I'm gonna have people. You know how they've got like that coffee app where you can like buy me a coffee and really it's like a couple of dollars.
Yeah.
I'm gonna set up one of them but for steak bakes. So it's like, get me a Greg's so like the person can judge how much they think my cameo is worth. But yeah. It's like
are you a full steak baker or are you a sausage roll?
Exactly. At a minimum it's a vegan sausage roll, but if people are really feeling it maybe
don't you slander the vegan sausage roll. That's a tasty treat.
Oh, it's a good one. It's just it's, you know, you gotta, you don't want to price yourself out of the market. It's one of it's one of the cheaper items.
Yeah, it's like a quid. I remember when they were like 40p back in my day.
It's sort of a win-win. Scumbags. If somebody like ordered one of them on the way to work, we're like, oh, I think you're worth a bacon and sausage sandwich and a latte. I'll record it while I'm eating it. So it's like, happy birthday. You really got, sorry, the wind on the bridge. Like, you know, and everybody gets what they want out of it.
That mainly sounds great to me. No, mainly, I know when
mainly
we
me.
When we pitched the idea of starting a food channel, I didn't think it'd be that. Like, the more you tip us, the more we'll eat. Like, send a super chat in until we explode. I'm here for that.
Gross, flaky ASMR. Just like pastry flakes coming out.
Rubbing your sausage roll over the microphone. This is...
what are we doing? This is a wrestling podcast.
This is wrestle culture. Where we talk absolute pish and then some wrestling as well. So, well, what a voice. Wrestling is occurring constantly. And it's been a... interesting week, more so in terms of following on from last week, which was the real beast with Stephanie McMahon and Sasha Banks and Naomi and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And the week before that, or recently we had Roman Reigns, his new contract, MJF, teasing stuff. He's been at it again, the rascal on Twitter recently. This week, like news-wise, in terms of things of that nature, it feels almost like a come down. But Double or Nothing is on.
We can come down
Sunday. Double or Nothing is this Sunday, and it's got 30 matches confirmed so far, and more are expected on Rampage. So 11 announced so far.
Cool your jets, Tony. Come on, Jesus,
it's a
Christ.
Lot. Where were we at with Revolution? Was that 13 in total?
Yeah, something like that.
Which worked out okay because three of them were on the kickoff. Gee whiz. The buy-in. That's it. So it was kind of like, well, the buy-in's going to be an hour long anyway. You might as well just fill it with matches.
Not if you're WWE, you don't.
No,
no. 2 hours and no matches.
Me and Gareth streamed 2 hours of us watching a kickoff show with no matches for WrestleMania.
Just a dude DJing for a while.
Yeah, like who I understand was some kind of relation to Nick Khan as well.
Is it?
Which, yeah, like a weird situation going on there. We just sat there, and if you tuned into our live stream, you'd have watched two men just sitting there going, oh, yep, Booker T's got a suit on. Oh, it's Jake Paul. Class.
DX music, but it's EDM.
Yeah. What? Anyway, this one will have wrestling. There's one match announced for it so far for the buy-in. You'd imagine. So Fightful reported yesterday that we're probably getting Darby Allin versus Kyle O'Reilly. Darby Allin's out for revenge because Kyle O'Reilly pilmanized Sting last week. Sting is missing a fan fest this weekend, which I'm not sure is a work or a shoot. Either way, he's missing it. That's probably getting added to the pre-show. Already on the pre-show, Hookhausen versus Tony Nese and Smart Mark Sterling. We probably don't need to... I'll give a quick rundown of the card. I won't go into too much detail because of the 30 matches. Jade Cargill versus Anna Jay for the TBS title. House of Black versus Death Triangle. for the rights to Alex Abrahant as his Halloween costume, I imagine. The Hardys.
Who gets a little gravestone next?
I've put your name on a gravestone. You're really screwed now.
Like, what could this possibly be? It's a gravestone. Yeah. What's he got under the cover? It's a gravestone.
What's in the box?
It up. Oh my God, it's a gravestone!
That wasn't going to be a Brad Pitt's wife's severed head, was it? Right, we got the Hardys versus the Young Bucks. We've got the Jericho Appreciation Society versus Eddie Kingston, Santana, Ortiz, John Moxley, and Brian Danielson in Anarchy in the Arena.
Hey, we should take this opportunity to plug that we've got a William Regal interview that should be out on the YouTube channel right now and will be coming out as a podcast very soon, I assume.
We do indeed.
Where he just goes all in on Jericho, ripping him to pieces, and it's absolutely wonderful, and you should go watch it.
So kind of like the polar opposite of this nonsense content, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
they're both available. Like, we will give...
Calls him a trout slapper at one point.
Yeah. What does that even mean? Like, I had to Google it to make sure it wasn't something awful. Not that I expect that of, you know, William Regal or whatever, but I was like, I have no idea what this is.
Yeah, like, if somebody said Burke,
yeah,
you wouldn't consider necessarily entomology that. It's the rudest word of the lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
Burke, it's Cockney rhyming slang for the naughtiest of all the naughties.
It's something else. I mean, literally, the interview starts with Adam. I ask him, hey, how are you looking? You looking forward to double, you know, standard opening stuff?
And he's just like, I hate Chris.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, we didn't even ask you that.
And the best bit is that he, Regal's so desperate to bury him, he literally interrupts him like twice.
Just to keep on burying him.
Just to keep insulting this man.
Brilliant. Love
it's great stuff. So in the interim there, I've Googled the urban dictionary meaning of trout slap, right? There are two at the top of this page.
Okay.
Obviously, this is a user-driven website, so it's all kinds of filth on here.
Read before you speak, Andy, just in case.
I'll be very careful. The first one is on IRC, shout-outs to IRC, the act of using a built-in command to slap another user, frequently used for comic effect. I don't think that's what he means.
I don't think that's what he means. That sounds far too high-tech for a William Regal.
It sounds like, but that in itself sounds quite primitive internet, doesn't it?
So it
maybe
does.
Maybe him and Jericho were banging into like their AOL chat back in the late 90s.
So there's another one here, and it's Jesus. All right, this
like
is
those animated seals we've all recently become super fond of. That do that like sort of like head wobbles.
It's a parrot, mate.
Parrot.
So this other one here,
parrot just, with a monocle. I like that one.
Just for the record, this one here has 4 thumbs up and 75 thumbs down, and the username is Dan 19283746465. So I don't think it was William Regal. It sounds like the average person in my Twitter mentions with that handle, but. effing another man's girl and then proceeding to slap him in the face with your unwashed cack. Therefore, he gets his girl's clam juice.
Oh my God.
On his face.
Doesn't even have...
Via
the internet, everybody.
Oh. Yeah, all right, I'm sorry.
Is there a thing about like wiping your trout on the curtains then? Is that...
Oh, that's a trout wipe. I don't know.
He's a trout wiper.
He also calls him a tosspot. Do you want to Google that one?
That one's open to interpretation. It's something else. Sorry, listeners, for exposing you to that nonsense from Urban Dictionary.
That's double or nothing, everyone.
Yeah, there you go. That's what's going to be occurring in this match. MGF versus Wardlow. Of course, if Wardlow wins, he is free of his contract. And if MGF wins, Wardlow is permanently banned. It's pro wrestling, probably not, from signing with AEW. We've got the two finals of the Owen Hart Cup tournaments. Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho or Chris Statlander. That'll be determined on Rampage tonight. We've got Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole on the men's side of that. Freeway for the Tag Team Championships, Jurassic Express defending against Ricky Starks, Powerhouse Hobbs of Team Taz, Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland.
We talked about Ricky Starks and Dynamite as well.
Oh my. Yeah, we can. I didn't actually notice this when I was watching the show. I guess maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention to this specific moment, but who would like to do the play-by-play of this?
I don't know the exact words of which he used, but he started it off. He was on the apron and he like did a jumping stomp on someone. I can't even remember who it was. Swerve. And completely missed him, basically. Yeah. And then went back to kick him again afterwards. And a guy in the audience went, "You missed him." And then Ricky Starks turned around at said person in the audience and said a lot of things about his dad and his cum and how he should have missed it. And it was absolutely fantastic.
Like NXT 2.0, this Double or Nothing preview was spunk-soaked. We've got like...
This is like Bruce's office, isn't it?
You started it by doing your Simon Miller impression. That's I don't want to talk about cum.
I don't want to talk about cum. 2 hours later, it's Travis talking in Ricky Starks.
Aye. What was that?
Aye.
There we go. Yeah, very good. There'll be more vocal brilliance from Ricky Starks later in this podcast. Just a spoiler for later.
I don't want to talk about cum.
Oh, yeah.
But where does it come from?
These nuts.
Where is it stored before that?
Hey.
There you go.
Jesus Christ.
Hey, lads. You know, if there's any serious people with like actual qualifications listening to this podcast right now, they will be asking us.
You got a journalism?
I'm getting the hang of this, boys. I'm getting the hang of this. By the way, there will be a quiz later on. I know I'm supposed to say that in the first minute, but I was too preoccupied with figuring out a song.
All that formula stuff is like goes way, way back just to make sure people stick around. Like, why would they not from this introduction and extend, you know, this like this one long intro that is this podcast? How could they not stick around off the back of this?
I mean, surely they're right now texting all of their friends, like, come on, get on the What's Such a Podcast. This is amazing.
You must have misread that card lineup because you told me Death Triangle were working on the show, but that they're in this room right now doing the podcast. So that...
Well, Alex Abrahantes has already gone home from work. Wilborn, of course. That was funny. That day we got a Twitter question and the comparisons were just incredible. It was like, if you could pick a counterpart for you in AEW on the roster, who would it be? You were John Moxley, Hamflet.
It's like, I will take that. Like, I might just leave now. Like,
the most appropriate one was Sidgwick as Pac. It's very good. Very good indeed. Kind of like technically excellent, but you don't want to mess with him because he will rip your throat out. and Wilborn was Alex Abrahantes. So I was answering it and I somehow came up with Cleary as Wardlow. I don't know how I got to that, but it felt right. There are two more matches on this card.
that's what we were doing.
The world title matches. Thunder Rosa defending against Serena Deeb, which has had a remarkable 65 seconds of build across. It's really rubbish the way they've promoted this. Should be a great match. And Hangman
playing
Page.
Thunder Rosa off like she's at the Oscars and her speech is running long.
Yeah, like they just started playing the music and she was like, I'm not finished, guys. Jeez, that was weird. That was really weird. I'm going to give their women's champion like a minute as well. The really weird build for this. The Serena segment the other week was good. And the main event, which Tony Khan has said will not be going on until after the Golden State Warriors and the Dallas Mavericks, I think. Yeah, basketball game.
He's promised that if you're a fan of your American sports, you'll get to see the last touchdown before you play. You won't miss a home run and you'll still get to see the main event.
That's
on a 7-hour pay-per-view, I don't think there's any reason to believe that wouldn't be the case anyway.
Yeah, I think we'll be covering this thing until Friday at this rate. But yes, Hangman Page versus CM Punk in the main event. So I guess we should probably do some analysis or something. I don't know.
Analysis?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's not what people are.
I mean, when you hear
if they were, they have turned off long ago.
If they are here, they're very stupid for that because that's not what I bring to the table, son. There you go. That's a brief lineup. Are we anticipating anything more being added? What do we reckon? It's never off the table with TK, is it?
Sounds that way, doesn't it? Yeah. This Darby Allin, Kyle O'Reilly thing doesn't fill me full of joy, but at least that you gave me like the storyline reminder of why there's a rationale for it.
Yeah.
And
it's weird. Sting is like front and center on this poster as well.
I'm not particularly a Darby Allin guy, but then the AEW pay-per-views probably should feature a Darby Allin. The problem is it features just about everybody else on the roster. Yeah. So when you leave somebody off, you're basically, well, not everybody on the roster, that's an exaggeration, but all of the main key and some peripheral players. So when you leave somebody off, you kind of designated them as an outsider to all of this. FTR are notable by their absence. If Kyle O'Reilly doesn't get on, like Red Dragon, the same. And there's longer form thoughts on this very podcast feed if you want to go listen to our Double or Nothing preview if you're concerned there isn't enough analysis on this very podcast. But truthfully, I think optimism at the moment is a little bit low and expectations are more measured than usual and excitement levels are maybe not what we would normally have for this pay-per-view. It probably bodes well, you know, because there's enough quality wrestlers on this roster to make sure that this delivers on the night. There's only so much, even if this is badly structured, even if this is badly laid out, there's only so much that can go wrong with this many combinations of such potential. So I think that creeping sense of disinterest that people have got in this card might actually benefit it. After All Out, and then I'd say to a lesser extent Full Gear, expectations were just sky high for AEW pay-per-views. And I would say Revolution somehow managed to live up to those. I thought Revolution was an excellent show. Mm-hmm. And people were coming off the back of this run of pay-per-views where all of a sudden AEW were entering like a different stratosphere as a pay-per-view company. It's not been ideal to watch the product fall off a little bit over these last few months, but this will probably be like mostly a great time. And I think people will probably leave this in a better mood mm-hmm. with the product yeah. than when they started.
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those where, like, WWE do this all the time, mainly because they just don't hype shows at all. But when yeah. they don't hype shows, like, they always, like, you get to the show and it's just wrestlers doing wrestler things and they ended up knocking it out of the park and you have a really fun show. Like, this is a time where you're going in for maybe one of the first times or one of the very, very few times at least with kind of lowered, measured expectations yeah. for an AEW pay-per-view. And you look at the card, like, there's still a lot of good stuff in there. Like, there's yeah. still going to be a lot of matches that are just going to absolutely smash it. Like, Samoa Joe and Adam Cole and things like that. It's, like, it's going to be really fun. Like, CM Punk, Hangman Page, like, if you take away the kind of odd build for it, like, the match itself is probably going to be absolutely brilliant. Like, there's a lot of things that
yeah.
you're not super excited for, but will end up being probably amazing on the night. And hopefully that leads them to a trajectory to build a bit of momentum again because they've kind of lost that kind of steam.
He's sort of... Tony Khan's in the position at the moment as a booker of that football manager with, that when they always say in football the cliches, it's a nice problem to have if you've got an embarrassment of riches and you can't quite work out who to select, but it's really awful when the manager keeps getting it wrong. And this does feel like there's a series of pairings here that whilst not bad on paper and the kind of the match, just good wrestling by assumption, isn't it? You said Samoa Joe and Adam Cole, that's the sort yeah. of the two names that come together and you're like, well, theoretically they should have a great match.
Yeah.
But lots of the stories feeding in, lots of the pairings that have come together have just maybe not felt like the most dynamic use of the talents yep. available. There's been a creeping sense of a lack of focus, I would say, in AEW of late. And all of these things are kind of all one central similar problem when you break them all down. So maybe getting through this pay-per-view is as important as doing a good job with it. Get yeah. through this cycle, see if and when they can get the Ring of Honor. I was going to say TV deal. Whatever Ring of Honor is, if mm-hmm. they can finally figure that out and get that off to one side, then, I don't know, if they escape this unscathed, there's always another pay-per-view cycle. There's always yeah. a new set of combinations. And there's like there might be a feeling after this that when these wrestlers are finally finished in these stories and angles, that the thing they move on to next is infinitely more satisfying than yes. what they've been doing the last couple of months.
Yeah, and the proof will be in the pay-per-view buys when they come out, I guess, because yeah. they've established this pretty high base level now after All Out last year, which, well, you know, they do very well to hit that number again. But, you know, the year over year, these numbers are going up and they're in a nice kind of mid-100,000s region with the majority of their pay-per-views these days. So, you know, if it comes out a couple of weeks from now and it's below that, then obviously they've done a really poor job
especially putting Hangman on top.
Yes.
Like that in yes. itself should have the spine to draw one of the biggest yeah. pay-per-view numbers ever.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that title match, we talked about this over the desk the other day, Murray, it's almost kind of an indictment that we're not all just assuming record pay-per-view buy
yeah.
rate.
Yeah.
Because that, like 6 months ago,
of all
you
of
looked
the
at that,
that
this
think
is the money combo, isn't it? Punk
of all
and Pitch.
The feuds, that's a no-brainer to build as well.
Yeah.
Like it's Punk Hangman. Like you do that, you think about that in the future and you're like, oh my God, it's a Punk Hangman. They do an amazing build. That's like yeah. really good characters that can do good character work leading into a big match. And it's like, oh, well.
It's been strange, confusing, muddled. I think it's one of those feuds where so many people have different interpretations of like, oh, it's meant to be a reflective thing of the backstage area or Paige's trying to convince himself of these words, which is my favorite version of it. I think the key to enjoying this the most is to just make up your own version in your head
yeah.
and go with that.
It's like I was thinking, like a lot of the things that have been said about Punk throughout all of the feuds with him is that like nobody really trusts him in yeah. a way. Like, yeah. and that's kind of been ushered in pretty much every single feud he's had so far. And it's like, are they actually going to pay that off? Or is that just a weird thing that's like just happenstance that it's come across like that?
It felt to me like, especially after the go home promo between the two, like a lot of the debate in the discourse sort of missed the point for me. It's like, I agree with both of what you're saying. Really, there are elements of the characters that you can choose to take. There are things that you can choose to make sense of and thus enhance your personal enjoyment of the match. But what I think was up for actual discussion was how much people just earnestly enjoyed what they watched. How much did they genuinely feel? And enough people were saying, I didn't feel that was that great.
Yeah.
And that's what matters the most here. Yeah. That's, again, like the headcanon. Like, there was loads of headcanon to be done. Even what you were given loads of stuff explicitly with Kenny Omega and Hangman Page, and yet loads of that was still stuff that you could put together through being the Elite or through your own interpretation of the characters. The one thing that people agreed on was they were loving it. That hasn't been the case here. There hasn't been universal agreement. MJF and CM Punk again. Like, there hasn't been universal agreement that this program rules. This program is just kicking ass and firing on all cylinders at just the right time.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the more important debate than where maybe, you know, they've maybe left a few details out with the characters. It's just how much have people actually enjoyed this? And I've been rooting for this. I've wanted to enjoy this more than I have.
Yeah.
And there's been a couple of weeks I've thought, here we go, here we go, here we go. And then it's just never really quite sparked. It's bristled.
Yeah.
But never really, like, sparked into life in the way I would have liked.
It's kind of echoed that kind of throughout the card a little bit as well, like from top to bottom, apart from the MJF one, which is, the one that stands out as the one that's actually, like, really well built from day to day. Like, even the tournaments and things, like, you'd think they've spent ages on these tournaments, then you'd have a logical end where you're, like, really excited about the finale, and you're like, well, it's going to be a good match, but there's no real reason to care.
No.
And for a tournament that they've put so much effort into, you'd think that would really be there.
It's really odd that it's a shame. Again, this is one of the things where you kind of have to, like, it's, I get no joy from saying this, like, because they're the inaugural Owen Hart tournaments, and the principal thinking behind them is such a nice thing as well. The foundations of this, like, no pun intended, are just, like, quite powerful and what they're starting to represent. And, like, wrestling fans have wanted Owen Hart's legacy, and AEW have found a way to curate that one thing without going against the wishes of Martha Hart, which always would have been the way if it was within WWE.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this should be perfect, right? And yet they've kind of folded their own internal storylines into the brackets of a tournament. So you've never been able to just think about a wrestler traveling through the brackets or very few wrestlers are in this tournament to be in this tournament. And one of the only ones that were Dax and Cash.
Yep.
And Dax went out in the first round and Cash went in a qualifier against him. Everything else has been about, like, Adam Cole fought Tomohiro Ishii in his first round or his qualifier. And that was a bit of, like, Forbidden Door adjacent stuff. And now him and Kyle O'Reilly were doing a bit about, hey, we're going to get the final, Undisputed Elite, finger poke of Doom stuff. It's like the wrestlers are kind of more involved in their own angles. And it just so happens that these brackets have fallen neatly into their laps.
Yeah. And you think about, like, the men's final in particular, Adam Cole wins this. It's going to be over in an instant. He's not going to land on this Owen thing for a while because he's going to go and continue his Undisputed Elite storyline with the Young Bucks. And if Samoa Joe wins this, oh, here's Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, and Satnam Singh. And it feels like they're going to speed past this at a million miles an hour, which would really stink, and I hope it doesn't happen. I do hope that Martha Hart is in the building at very least, or if not presenting the belts to the winners. I think that would be really nice. And the whole family, they were there couple of weeks ago on Dynamite, weren't they?
Yeah.
Was it the start of the tournament they were there for?
It was just midway through, I think. Yeah. It was like maybe the quarterfinals or one of the semis or something. But I'm sure I read online that, like, Martha will be there. Yeah. And I think you're right. I think presentation is I think it'll elevate the whole thing as well. Like, I've predicted Britt Baker and Adam Cole win, and it's just where we are now. They're both stars, and they're both going to get belts, and there'll be a nice visual of Martha Hart in between. Power couple sort of vibe, you know.
Yeah.
It's something, I think, to kind of rescue this from just, like, falling through the cracks a little bit, you know, just, like, not really feeling like a, I think it's like you say there, Murray, this needs to feel important on the night. It needs to feel like it's prestigious, because you're going to want to do it next year and it not feel like, oh, last year's was a bust. So it's got to land, doesn't it, this first time of just being this big, momentous occasion for AEW.
Yeah, otherwise it'll just become the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
That's the last thing you want, isn't it? Like, the way that thing very quickly became nothing. What on earth was I going to say? I think a couple of good, like, really great matches in the final would go a long way, I think, because for me, this tournament has suffered so far from a lack of just great matches. Like, things I could earnestly sit there and go, yes, that is a 4-star-plus match. Dash and Cash, I thought, was sensational.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are some others that, like, Cole and Dax was really great as well.
I enjoyed O'Reilly's Mojo as well.
Yeah, that was good this week as well. I appreciated that they took the arm story from the previous week and carried it. I like nerd stuff like that. Yeah. Like, you pay stuff off week to week. I'm into it. I know a lot of people were very high on Kyle versus Phoenix. It didn't really land for me, but I'm not going to sit here and argue with you if you thought it was awesome. So, like, a couple of blowaway matches could really benefit here. But Joe versus Cole is interesting. Joe, obviously, you know, not the physical force he used to be, but I've really enjoyed his run so far. I like the Kyle match this week. I loved the Suzuki match earlier on in his run. Britt Baker versus Ruby Soho or Chris Statlander is a bit more difficult. So I was just looking it up there while you chaps were talking. Britt Baker's match with Toni Storm from this week's episode of Dynamite is currently the lowest rated AEW match of 2022 on Cage Match. Now that doesn't factually mean anything, right? But subjectively, 109 people have voted on this, and you know, by that majority of opinion, next to it, it's way lower than the second worst match, which was the Hardys versus the Butcher and the Blade, which obviously didn't go as planned on TV. So I wary of this one a little bit more. I think that Ruby's beating Chris, I think, on Rampage. I think Statlander is excellent, and I like this remake of her. I think she's low-key, maybe apart from maybe Serena Deeb, maybe the best person at elevating people in matches and giving people their best match in the division. She's really, really good at playing like a Vanguard standard bearer type wrestler. I think we're going to get Ruby and Britt. Ruby's run maybe hasn't been as high level between the ropes as we'd hoped so far. I think she resonates extremely well on TV. I like her a lot. She's really likable. But in the ring, we've not quite hit that level. And of course, we had the match from them at Grand Slam, which was good, but I think great would be a bit of a stretch. So hopefully it comes together for them in the ring. Hopefully they find their chemistry. You've picked the two heels to win, Michael. Yeah. I think Cole's going to win the men's, but Ruby's going to win the women's. What do you think, Phil?
I am with you on that one, I think. I think Ruby needs it a lot more than Britt will ever need it. I do think it's really odd that Toni Storm didn't win that match. Like, it just makes a lot more sense going forward.
I know it wasn't very good.
Yeah.
I can't believe they didn't arrive at that as the final.
Yeah, 100%. Especially that's fake, the logical story. Like, we talk about their own stories getting in the way of the tournament brackets and things, and they're kind of feeding the tournament brackets into their own stories. That's the one time they've done that, but then taken it away at the same time. Yeah. And it doesn't make any sense. It seemed like the most logical build. But yeah, Ruby needs this a lot more. I think she's looking a bit more comfortable now on TV than she has in a long time. Like the promo that she did on Dynamite, no, it's just a little backstage thing, but she felt a lot more like herself. Like she was a bit more comfortable with who she is in AEW. And hopefully that comes across in matches as well, because she's not really had a chance. Well, she's not really shown that yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they need to have a good match in this one, I think.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. I think both finals could certainly use with hitting a level above the average of the tournament so far. I'll just run through some other bits and pieces really quickly. I mean, Jade Cargill versus Anna Jay, that's going to be a squash. Yep. House of Black versus Death Triangle will be a mental spot fest, and I can't wait.
Yep.
could probably say the same for the tag team title match, right? Just
that
triple... Don't use the WWE word. That freeway on Dynamite was probably a really good preview of what's going to be.
Yeah.
Creative spots, people interacting with more than two people at once. It's not just one guy waiting over here while you do moves.
Go, go, go.
Exactly. MJF versus Wardlow. I mean, it's the best storyline in AEW at the moment, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Right. Yeah, we all agree on that.
I do love about that as well, just on that. It's the best storyline in AEW. It's the thing that I think everybody's probably the most ramped up for on the card, maybe apart from the main event because it's so unpredictable.
Yeah.
But in loving the journey of Wardlow getting the match, I think it's been easy to overlook the prospect that MJF might win.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, what they've done with Wardlow is they've mirrored Cody versus MJF. So you have the lashes, you have the cage, and all of that came from Cody. Well, MJF turned on Cody after Cody lost the match, which was for everything as far as Cody was concerned. He lost that match and he couldn't fight for the title. This is kind of similar to that, isn't it? Wardlow could lose this match and then he can't fight for any title because he can't have a job. But the mere existence of Ring of Honor over here at least creates this thread of believability. Well, Tony Khan has seen all this go down and think, well, there's no way that this man is getting left unemployed.
Yeah.
I'd like to welcome Wardlow to Ring of Honor and for MJF to fume that he thought he'd finally got shot of this guy forever, but he's in the company next door and he's always going to be breathing down his neck, something like that. I'm not sure if I think that's going to happen, but I just think it's not worth entirely overlooking.
Yeah.
Like they've done such a good job of, Cedric made the comparison on our Dynamite review of the week. He made the Austin McMahon comparison because not only is it sort of this authority type figure versus the anti-hero, the kind of the working man trying to break through, but typically, Wardlow kind of gets to win most weeks by the end, kind of gets the last word. So you're always, no matter what MJF set up, Wardlow's knocked it down, but you're there for it again next week. At what point does the big does the heel get something big of Wardlow? Like, is it out of pay-per-view? Can you take that risk, basically, and somehow find a way to stretch this out even longer because it's so over?
It's an interesting prospect of where the two people are on the card as well. Like, cause, like either way, whatever happens in the match, like MJF is on the cusp of like bona fide main event, absolute star, like top of the company kind of level. And Wardlow is just there ready to be truly heated up and like go on a really like big tear through AEW or whatever. Like the story that's done such a good job of getting him over to the point where people, they want to see MJF get his ass kicked and then they want to see MJF, Wardlow just kind of tear through people. Yeah. But it's like either way, even if like MJF does win, there'll still be another way of getting back to it at some point where MJF can finally get his comeuppance, and it's just how you nudge both of them at the same time up onto that next level where they really need to be.
Yeah, for sure. And like, you could do this, the Ring of Honor thing that you've described there, Hamlet. He's gone to Japan.
Yeah.
You know, he's oh, Wardlow's in the G1. Oh my goodness. Something like that. You could, he could win the United States, IWGP United States title. MJF gets really bored. There's like loads of ways where you can put Wardlow in a corner for a while and he'll do really well. And then MJF will go, that guy's doing really well. I don't like this. Come back and I'll beat you.
All that said, I did actually predict a Wardlow win on the other podcast we did because I quite like the idea of FTR running off Sean Spears. Yeah. They've been very careful to note that Wardlow's got no friends because of all the time he spent with MJF. He basically alienated everybody in the locker room, which is why nobody comes to his aid now. But who were the two people that he didn't alienate? It was FTR because of the Pinnacle.
Yeah.
And MJF and Sean Spears have kind of conveniently just pretended that everything's fine in the Pinnacle whilst FTR have turned babyface and seen the error of all their ways. So it'd be quite nice if Sean Spears is just a total rat all the way through. They run him off. MJF realizes not only is he all alone, but after all this, it's going to be their fault.
Yeah.
And there's a new direction for his spite is the formal death of the Pinnacle.
Yeah.
And there's a lot. You could have MJF pay off Tully Blanchard and bring in the Gates of Agony, his new tag team and stuff. There's loads of really interesting directions, I think, no matter what way you take this match. But yeah, I mean, when you see things like, if MJF wins, Wardlow will be permanently banned from signing with AEW. It's like, it's pro wrestling, you know?
Yep.
It's part of the fun, those stipulations that never stick. I mean, Thunder Rosa versus Serena Deeb. Yep, put them on TV more. That would have been nice, but Serena Deeb is awesome. Thunder Rosa is awesome. I'm sure the match will be good. I think that's, I mean, we can't really break down every single one because we're already 35 minutes in, but hey, here's hoping for a good pay-per-view. Anyway. Shall we move over to WWE and their interesting pay-per-view situation of their own? That's all right.
Cowards.
arisen last night. Wow, this is something else. So Money in the Bank was originally, it was part, Nick Khan, the big dog. What is that his job title? President and big dog of Slick Nick of WWE had this, I believe he masterminded this idea of having 7 or 8 or whatever it is, stadium shows, major ones in the US, a bunch of them in summer, that being Money in the Bank, SummerSlam and Clash at the Castle, of course. Really have these huge arenas. So they booked to the Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas.
Conveniently forgetting that they can very rarely sell out an arena rather than a stadium.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair though, the one in Wales, it's very good of them to do like a What Culture Post show, isn't it?
That's going to
be like
nice them,
that's going to be like they're talking smack for Clash near the Castle. Nice of them to put something on for us.
If we sell out before Clash at the Castle, I know we're only selling like, you know, selling 60,000 tickets.
We can make like a percentage game of it. It's like, oh, we've sold 75% of our tickets. Yeah. Your move, WWE.
Yeah, WWE can make up their attendance figures.
Yeah,
that's
true.
Yeah, we'll tape a section off if we don't. It'll be fine. But yeah, so they had this ambitious plan. It was going to be Allegiant Stadium, which attracted around 51,000 fans for SummerSlam last year. SummerSlam was a blockbuster last year with John Cena versus Roman Reigns. And then on the night, this wouldn't sell tickets because you didn't know what was happening, but Becky returned and Brock returned and all that stuff. They were going to run Allegiant Stadium. Looks very much like they didn't sell enough tickets, and that's why they've moved to the MGM Grand
looks
Garden.
Looks like we
arena.
Didn't get enough tickets.
Well,
looks like we haven't got a single main event.
So there's a bunch of stuff going on here.
Looks like Roman Reigns screwed us up.
Nick Khan at it again. What am I trying to say here? Spit it out, Andrew. You're hosting the podcast this week. So they'd sold, per Dave Meltzer's latest reporting, 6th of May, they'd sold 16,833 tickets for this event. Now, WrestleTix, I believe, tweeted yesterday saying they've distributed probably somewhere around 17,000 by that point. So that would include, using the word distributed, I assume that would include some comps here and there as well. Now, the problem with this now is that they've moved away from Allegiant Stadium, which attracted 51,000 last year, and they've already committed to 17,000 tickets. The MGM Grand Garden is going to be calibrated for around 12,000. So WWE have, you know, the right thing to do is, hey, refunds, obviously, right? And then they've said, whoever bought a ticket, you have first dibs. You can, you have a chance to buy tickets for this one first. But the problem is, you have 5,000 more than can fit in the building. So there's going to be some interesting, very unfortunate things coming out for people who've maybe arranged travel, maybe flying there, maybe accommodation, all of this, and now find themselves unable to get tickets. I'm sure that will come out. I'm sure we will hear all about it across the internet. But my goodness gracious, what a turn of events. A little bit ambitious of them to think they could run Money in the Bank in this state. I think that's objective, going by the amount of tickets they sold. I've always been a fan of just run a building appropriate to your size. I know it's WWE and they want to have the big, massive stadium, but when it's half empty, what's the point?
This is like the biggest scale five-star wrestling you can possibly imagine.
Speaking of five-star wrestling, we've got a treat for you coming up next. They do it on TV as well every week when there's like 5,000 people at Raw and they run this 15,000-seater basketball arena or whatever. And it's like, why? Run the smaller buildings that AEW's run. You'll have a better atmosphere. You won't have to sit everyone on one side really awkwardly. You won't have to go, hey, cameraman, you can't shoot that side because it's got tarpaulin over it. It's a weird move. I think that part of their strategy in doing this is the idea that if it's in a stadium or a bigger basketball arena, it's a more prestigious venue, therefore they can get away with charging more money for tickets, therefore revenue isn't too bad. But live events have been massive money losers for this company for ages. You've got to think that a smaller arena would be cheaper.
I think, is it, so, you know, like, obviously there's been the obvious comparisons to WrestleMania 7 with Sergeant Slaughter and the terror and the bomb threats, because he was just such an overheel and that, you know, that's him. Back then, I think Vince McMahon had ran, you know, WrestleMania 3, 78 or 93, it doesn't really matter. Tons and tons of people.
Yeah.
Toronto Sky Dome, same again, around 50 to 60,000 for WrestleMania 6, and believed that you could still do it at least once a year. Back then, I think it was about that end goal that you've just described of, you know, the filling the buildings and the gate receipts and all that kind of stuff. Nick Khan, pretty much from day dot in his job, has been key to the massaging of WWE's perception, right? So like those TV deals in 2018 that came into effect in 2019 with a tipping point, as I remember infamously Brandon Thurston gave us the details, with a tipping point from when WWE made more money from rights fees and television agreements and the like than consumer spending.
Business to business.
Yeah, business to business. Thank you. Yeah, so it never came back and it was never destined to. And we all kind of had that, oh, if we thought creative was bad before, what about even now when they're not even serving a customer? They're serving what people think WWE is, right? So like WWE for years now has been more about what people, and by people I mean investors, stockholders, all them types, television network executives, what people think it is rather than what us sat around this table, the people that watch every week, what it actually is, what we consume and what we might occasionally enjoy about it. And I think that's the stadium philosophy through and through.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Don't think this will put him off either. There will come... The problem is, which he has found firsthand here, is that every now and then the tail still does need to wag the dog. You can't just have this Roman Reigns thing and be like, look... Roman Reigns, big star. Yes, true. Objective facts. WrestleMania, big brand. Yes, true. Objective facts. Still, like, leveraging so much against the WrestleMania name. Yes, you can sell all these things off Roman Reigns and WrestleMania. You can't sell a 12-month calendar around it. You can't sell shows off the back of one star with no... Cody Rhodes was the one guy used in the advert, if you remember, walking across the Allegiant Stadium football pitch. Yep. So that was them effectively saying, if it's not Roman Reigns and if it's not WrestleMania... Pretty much Cody or bust.
Yeah. So like, the poster for it was just Cody Rhodes and that's it, like front and center.
And he's the guy they've bought. You know, he's the guy they've signed away from the opposition to have a star because they didn't have another one. So I think this. I'm really glad this has happened because there was almost, for the last 3 years, there was nothing really that you were armed with as a fan of the product that gave you reason to hope that there was any chance of a change.
Sure.
I'm not suggesting that one move of a stadium is going to make them think, oh, we need to... like overhaul our operations and build stars again. I'm not saying we're going to go back to that, but maybe the odd one or two might be nice. You know, the odd, just two or three more people that feel like you could draw tickets with, because has the conversation not been for weeks? Who have they got for three stadiums? Like, and nobody's had the answer because the people don't exist.
Yeah.
You can, it's not The Rock. So short of that, there is nobody at this point.
You've just done Steve Austin.
Steve Austin and Brock Lesnar over two main events, that sort of thing. There's nobody, and there never was. And now they're down to two stadiums, bruised egos and all. And like maybe, just maybe, it cannot all be about massaging perception. And a little bit of it still has to be what brought them to the dance in the first place.
Yeah. I think the funniest thing about this as well, like outside of the sort of WWE inner workings behind it and why they haven't sold that many tickets and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're moving from 40,000 seat arena to a 12,000 seat with the MGM Grand. The T-Mobile arena exists in Vegas, which is 20,000. A, they could have gone run that and just put the 17,000 in there. Everyone would have had a ticket and they still would have had 3,000 left, which they probably could have sold by.
Yeah, for sure.
B, AEW are running that on Sunday and have already sold it out. So either T-Mobile Arena maybe might have been booked already for that night. You never know. And that's why they had to go for the smaller arena. But
the MGM Grand, the first Double or Nothing.
Yeah.
So AEW graduated from that building to the T-Mobile one and WWE going
the other way.
That's quite sweet.
What date's Money in the Bank?
It is the 2nd of July.
Let's see if there's anything on at the team.
Is there a sports team that plays there? They've got an ice hockey team in Las Vegas now, don't they? The Knights.
The what of July?
The LA Knights, the second.
Yeah.
They've got UFC on.
Oh, there you go.
So that's almost disappointing. That
oh, man. Head-to-head arena business head to UFC. Arena business. That's great
UFC
as well.
UFC 276.
So coming out of that, I really hope that someone makes a snarky comment on Dynamite next week about ticket sales in Las Vegas. Like, I know a lot of people don't like that. Personally, it gives me life. It's the equivalent of an espresso shot in the morning. Take more shots at each other, companies. It is fun. Back and forth. I love it all. Right. Speaking of very ambitious wrestling shows... Wrestling Entertainment Series. I don't know why we're talking. Well, no, I do know why. This came about several weeks ago, so it's not new, and it's happening next week.
I don't know
week.
Why we're not going to this show. That's what I don't know about.
This is it. It's next weekend, bosses, if you're listening.
Where is it?
It's in Nottingham.
Nottingham.
Wilborn's there all the time. We could just hitch a ride.
Not like there isn't tickets.
So realistically, we're just talking about this because I wanted a wacky topic before we do the quiz. So... The Wrestling Entertainment Series, for those who don't know, is the new promotion that has been started by the Offers of Pain, the former Offers of Pain, Raker, Akim and Razar, who are they formerly known as in WWE, who hadn't done anything in wrestling since they were let go by WWE, and they've reemerged, and they could not have reemerged in a more insane fashion. I cannot possibly think of a way they could have re-announced themselves in the wrestling scene other than going to DDT and wrestling the Panda and the Blow Up Doll in the same match. Wrestling Entertainment Series, from their official press release, the future is here. The future of sports entertainment is now. What they are doing, and they announced this on like 4 weeks' notice. That's not a lot of time to sell tickets. On the 4th of June, that's next week, in Nottingham, England. Why are they running in England? I don't know. they've got this card. They've booked this show, right? The arena is the Motor Point Arena in Nottingham. And you hear the word arena and you think that's going to have a big capacity. And sir, you would be correct if you were making that assumption, because this thing holds 10,000 people. It's their first show, need I remind you. Britrest is not exactly in a great position.
Oh, you're talking about his back.
This is classic Britrest, right?
Yeah. It really is, isn't it?
This is the biggest Britrest show since SummerSlam 92, and they've got in before Clash at the Castle. Fair play to them.
It really is the second coming of five-star wrestling, isn't it? Where, you know, the overambitious project hosted here in the UK, where they booked all these former WWE names and booked colossal arenas and sold 200 tickets a pop. And
they booked an entire arena tour, if you don't know about this already, around the UK over several weeks and sold, like you say, 200 tickets, and still ran the shows in the goddamn massive arenas with 200 people next to it. They also announced that they were going to have CM Punk on one of their shows without telling CM Punk.
As much as you two will be disgusted by the line I'm about to say, we're all of similar ages. We're either of you two...
That's not even remotely correct.
Did either of you two have your fingers burnt by Wrestle Express once upon a time at the Coventry Sky Dome?
No.
It was like post... So Vince had bought WCW, and then this guy called, I think he was called like Ryan Hewson, he fancied himself as a local promoter, booked the Coventry Sky Dome, and he was like, I've got Eric Bischoff and Rob Van Dam and everybody else from WCW and ECW. And he had nobody. And the show was like this... This, like, it was a catalogue of Britrest-esque failures, and I think they ran it in the end as, like, a basic, like, British indie show in, like, a taped-off version of the Coventry Sky Dome, whatever it was. But, yeah, like, for years, when they, like, talk about killing the business, killing the town, killing the territory, it certainly put me off going anywhere near any one of these, what, five or six big, like, one name as an import, that's one thing, a whole night of big stars, this can't fail, like...
That was the thing from Five Star. They weren't lacking star power, and they still only managed to sell like 200 tickets.
Yeah,
you just remember from it, don't you? You're like, oh, I'm not going to do that.
You tuned into a Five Star thing, and you saw Rey Mysterio farting around on this grey arena floor with a dozen people in the background with Rob Van Dam. It was so weird. It was so weird. And it sounds like this is going to go down a similar route. Obviously, you know, more promotions entering the marketplace is great, but I have no idea what to... Shall we just run through the card?
Yeah, please.
This is absurd, right? So there's two pre-show matches here.
I love that
it's got a pre-show.
God forbid a wrestling show doesn't have a pre-show. What are they doing? Are they keeping the finger? Like, is this getting broadcast on YouTube? It's like, get yourself down to the Motor Point. Here's a sampler of what you could get if you get... I'm 6 hours away. Well, get yourself in the car and you could make it for the main event.
Look at all these seats that are available. Just like,
what a pre-show.
So charged with selling tickets or pay-per-view buys for that main show, we've got Dirty Dango.
Sold.
Versus Levis Valenzuela Jr. That's No Way Jose. So you've got kind of like a WWE undercard match chilling there. Mike Bennett versus Biff Busick. Biff Busick is Oni Lorcan, for anyone who might not know, which is very weird because Oni Lorcan seems to have an incredible indie match every single weekend. Yep. He's the anomaly on this card. But yeah, fair. I hope
if someone's going to pay for him to pretty much go on holiday, probably phone it in an arena and then have a nice time in the UK.
Exactly. Free holiday, baby.
Sorry here that he's going to be expected to work a miracle.
Oh, Mike Miracle the Bennett guy. Shout outs to the Pope. Elijah Burke, he said that on commentary once. It was very funny.
Not the actual Pope.
Somebody isolate, shout out to the Pope.
This podcast.
I was wrestle coach this week. Shout out to the Pope.
This podcast comes to you live from the Vatican City. But yeah, that was a Pope commentary line.
New sponsor, Catholicism.
Man, that could be quite lucrative. Catholicism's huge. And then on to the main card, you've got Lindsay Dorado, who He maintains his ring name. He used that before, WWE, so that's probably why. He's facing Dean Mittati, who is a Mojo Rawley. Mm-hmm. So this will be his first match, I think, since leaving WWE as well. That's a common theme. Yeah. You've got Madison Rayne and Tennille Dashwood, who are active in Impact, versus Deonna Purrazzo and Chelsea Green, who are also active in Impact. So that, you know, makes a little sense there. Also, that's for the Women's Tag Team Championships for this promotion. Oh. Yeah.
Roll the marbles.
We have a three-way here. Killer Cross versus Samurai Del Sol versus Jonah. Of course, that would be Karrion Kross, Kalisto, and Bronson Reed. Then the promoters are working third from the top here, brother. Hey. It's the Legion of Pain. That's their new ring name. Versus Blake and Macklin. That's Blake and Cutler, of course. Mm-hmm. The former guys who got screwed over by that insane bell end. Yeah. Towards the end of their time
are those
in
for
WWE.
Like some tag belts?
I was going to say, are those for the tag belts?
Those are for the world tag team.
Looking themselves in the tag championship.
Is there a one that says belt on
classic.
This gimmick?
He hasn't got a belt.
Classic right. Carny promoter.
Unless they're going to win an egg.
They might win an egg. But yeah, that's that. The women's world champ. This is my favorite match on the card. CJ Perry, that's Lana, versus Lena Fanini. That's... Nia Jax. So the second from the top is Nia Jax versus Lana. And then on top.
Put her through a table.
My hole.
Nia's under siege.
That's funny.
Office lore.
And
the main event, right? What is this? What is this main event? This is what they're going to be selling tickets with. Adam the Titan Shearer. That's Braun Strowman. Yep. Of course. Okay, so that makes sense.
Choo
choo, baby. That makes sense. He's the biggest name on this card from a wrestling perspective. Obviously, put him in the main event for the world title. Who's his opponent? Alistair Overeem. Alistair Overeem never wrestled a match in his life. A few short months ago, Alistair Overeem, during an appearance on Ariel Helwani's, I think it was...
Fascinated to see how you word this, by the way.
Yeah. I think it was on the MMA Hour, but he was interviewed by Helwani, who does a great job, described pro wrestling as fake, lame, and then a homophobic thing.
Oof, yeah.
And couldn't understand why anyone would do it.
Incredible.
And now he's doing it. So
this show of all shows.
He's facing Braun Strowman, who is...
Are they going to send Braun out there to do it? I heard what you've been saying about just business. And like, he's going to be babyface as a guy fighting for the heart and soul of pro wrestling against this guy that doesn't respect what we do 365 days in a year.
Then over him goes into business for himself, punches him in the face, knocks him out, and walks out as a champion.
Shoot wins the belt and nobody can take it off him.
Just lifts it up and goes, I told you so.
Well, we've talked about belts and about world titles, but there is an extra detail about this, isn't it? Like, are they going to be fighting for world titles, or are they going to be fighting for like a picture of a smoking monkey? Might this be an NFT front? Like, I remember there's an interview.
Last Joe.
The authors have been a little while ago where they were like, yeah, we're into those really cool stuff at the moment. We're still keeping our fingers in the wrestling pie, but a bit of crypto, a bit of NFT. I got a picture of an elephant on a bike.
It's not actually on pay-per-view. Like, the pre-show is for the NFT.
It's not actually a show. Like, yeah, if you're looking at a card now, like, Murray's got the card up on his iPad. That's what you're buying. Yeah. That's the NFT. It's going to be up for grabs on the night. You too can have a picture of this card.
It's a 3-hour GIF.
A 3-hour GIF? Don't you dare print off my NFT either.
All the wrestlers are getting paid in hot dogs and crypto.
Hey, brother, this is some of Frankfurter coin. Yeah. This show is so fascinating.
Who's bankrolling this? Is it actually the Authors of Pain, or have they got some weird...
Elon Musk.
Carney backer.
Elon Musk. There's got to be some kind of money mark behind this, hasn't there?
I wonder if it is just the guy from Five Star, because he only did that because he was a bloody millionaire and had no idea what else to do.
He might as well screw around with some wrestling, right? Mm. I'm fascinated by the show. I will 100% be watching this. This sounds like a total... This could be the most perversely entertaining show of the year.
Since Five Star Wrestling.
Absolutely. And listen, if I could be there...
I took so much satisfaction in those Five Star shows. They were just... They weren't even that bad shows.
No!
They looked awful because of the state.
Exactly.
A lot of these guys came through that mid-2010s NXT system, right? Is this being on the sly bankrolled by Triple H to make NXT UK look credible by comparison? Like, a lot of these
That's
people...
That's why he's in the UK.
Yeah, he's giving them a job and it's like... nobody even believes that NXT UK exists, Sean. What are we going to do? He's like, well, why don't we just set up a promotion that looks so ludicrously bad? Like, if I was to be like, should we just go to the BT Sports Studio instead? Yeah.
Yeah. So that's Wrestling Entertainment Series live at the Motorport Arena. Tickets, by the way, I top out at £272. To be fair, that's a meet and greet package. So you know what? I don't know how much meet and greets cost, right? I'm not a buyer of those things, but there's some pretty big wrestling names there. So if you're kind of into autographs and photos and
if you're
and
stuff, All Elite Scooby-Doo, treat yourself.
Yeah, if you're All Elite Scooby-Doo, that's probably not a terrible deal. But tickets start in the nosebleeds of this 10,000-seater arena at £27.60.
The thing is, right, so what was it, £270?
Yeah.
Like if you were paying £270 for a WrestleCon type event with all of these wrestlers, and then you got your meet and greets and you got your pictures, and then somebody was like, catch, you've got to stay for a 3-hour wrestling show featuring. I got my pictures. I got to catch a train, you know, like that.
I will say, though, if you do actually want to go to the show, 100% buy the cheapest tickets you can possibly get. And on the night, you will absolutely be ringside. 100%. Guaranteed.
There are cameras there. There is no way they can let this look like what it might otherwise look like.
It's going to be a beautiful time. Just one last point on this. When the tickets started, when they first came out, they've lowered the prices twice now. Shockingly, I don't think they're selling all that well. But they opened them up at about, it was £37 was the lowest price. That, my friends, is literally higher than the lowest price for a ticket to Clash at the Castle, the WWE stadium show. So
hypocrites, by the way, because to a man in the What Culture office, all of us, upon hearing this news, said, if this was a Newcastle, we would 100% be going.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So only geography has put us off here, isn't it?
If this was 2 months from now and I had, like, you know, a free schedule, I would 100% go to this. That would be awesome. It would be great. Hey, you want to...
There's still time.
Hey, maybe we can...
When is it? Next week?
Next Saturday, I think. Yeah.
Next Saturday.
Let's go, brothers. Take the day off.
Cheeky little Airbnb in Nottingham.
Go and see the sheriff while we're there.
Maybe, you know, my NXT UK thing is a bit of a joke. Maybe they have genuinely got an attempt to try and outdraw NXT in your house.
Oh.
Maybe they're just like, maybe more people watch them on Fight than people that tune in the network to watch 2.0.
I think in your house is a good description of where the next Wrestling Entertainment Series event will be held. But with that in mind, we've got through today's topics 1 hour in. It's now time for...
These nuts.
Hey! I tell you what. Let me try and do the thing I did last time and really messed up. All right, here we go.
Well, looks like we've had enough talk. It's time!
Good place.
Absolutely horrendous audio. Just the worst.
You forgot the fora again. It's time. Gap buttons. Bloody going great. And I said, hey, yeah.
So pretend Mark Henry introduced that one. Now, right, this week's quiz. I'm going to do the same thing I did last time, right? Well, I don't know the reviews that Adam's used previously for the sponsorship. So if you've left an earnestly really good one recently, I will let Adam know and he'll do that later. But I just got like really, really terrible ones from the archives that I just wanted to read to you guys. So the first sponsor of today's...
Bloody good quiz.
There you go, got it right that time.
Bloody good quiz.
Is from Official Deno. One star, awful, god-awful podcast filled with grown men crying because WWE killed their tin pot promotion. Do not listen. Tremendous. Tin pot? What's he on about?
WCPW.
Okay. I mean, I wasn't involved with that, so I don't know what you're talking about, mate. Like, next one.
As I sit here wearing a Defiant Crew t-shirt.
Hey, man, free t-shirts, Phil.
Hey, listen, go and look at the view count for, is it Rey
Mysterio versus Alberto Del Rio?
And tell us where Tim Paul Powell, all right. second review, one star, again. It comes from Jojo Nix. Title is John Cena. One star, purely for the hate of Big John. So... there you go.
Laurinaitis.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope you didn't hear my laptop making noise, friends. It's all popping off. Very professional host. Our final one is, this is something else, is from Simon St. Caddy. The title is AEW Booking is a Laugh.
Okay.
And it is a 200-word breakdown of why AEW Booking is bad. 3rd of February, Sting and Darby Allin are in the ring saying they have each other's back. And 1 week later, Darby has a match and Sting is nowhere in sight. And then Sting has an interview and says nothing. Bad guy's on the screen again. And the guy who's supposed to have your back is being dragged away. Also, a group of 250-pound young weightlifters are afraid of a 61-year-old man and a guy 100 pound less. How is this good storytelling and booking? Also, how many times do people get kidnapped from the back? Also, how long is the Cody Shaq match and feud going to go on? Who wants to see this? They booked this with no end and are still going. How can you say that Ryan Nemeth isn't worth PAX time, but Joey Janela is great against Darby? Holy moly, is that backwards? Only listen to the news and the top 10 stuff now because of the love non-stop sports entertainment. AEW is a different version of WWE, not something new. Since Shaq, you haven't even mentioned how AEW did in viewers. Is it because it's been steady going down? There you go. Tremendous.
What's the review's name?
He's just this is Simon St. Caddy. He's just reviewed Tony Khan's booking in our review section there. What's going on?
Thanks, Simon St. Caddy. And I can say that with confidence because I know you are still listening. Thank you. And obviously the Shaq thing turned out amazing, but I think Simon's got a point there and it's been lost underneath it a little bit. The match was fantastic. But Shaq did disappear and Ambulance never to be seen again.
Yeah, he did.
So maybe Simon's got a point. Like, let's get back to that, shall we? When's Shaq?
When's the next series of Unsolved Mysteries? When's that kicking off?
I did like his thing about AEW as a different version of WWE. It was like, well, yeah, that was that was their entire point. That's why they exist.
That's why it happens. Viewerships, by the way, have increased literally every month for like a year or something. So interesting point there at the end. But yes, today is, we're going to do a quiz. Tried to think of all kinds of great stuff for this. In the end, I've just come down to weird questions about people who are on the Double or Nothing card. So relatively straightforward. I'm not going to go... we're not going to do any of those songs.
If hypothetically, if there was to be a tiebreaker, then would there be like a gulp song, fastest finger first, fingers on buzzers type situation?
Can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay.
But yeah, we're going to talk about some Double or Nothing participants.
Okay.
Right. First question on this bloody good quiz is how many entrance... This is weird. Number one, how many entrance themes so far in his AEW run has Malakai Black used? Different entrance themes. A, one. B, four.
A1 sung him at ringside.
C, two. Or D, three.
Phil! Really confused me when they weren't in order. You're going to do a Wilbon thing. You go 1, 4, 8, or 12. 3.
Yay!
It is 3. It has a different one. Singles theme by Amon-Ra. Tag team theme, Kings of the Black Throne, that Colin Young from God's Hate did, and Twitching Tongues. And I kind of remember the name of the band who do the House of Black theme, but it's got Scott from Neurosis in it. There you go. Just showing you how much I know about metal. Yeah, cool. Right, okay. Phil's leading 1-0. I've just been a knob for no reason. question number two. It was recently discovered online that Hook, real name Tyler Sinertia, has been living a double life as a creative direction design photographer. This is true. Hook has a photography website under his real name. Now, there's another name that this is under. What nickname does Hook go by in this endeavor? Is it number one? Is it A, Shagger? Is it B, Gooch? Is it C, Dookie? Or is it D, Captain Jock?
Hamlet.
I'll
go with Gooch.
Yay!
It's Gooch. Tyler.
You're saying he's not a really big Green Day fan.
I was either that or Nimrod. I thought Dookie was better. Yes. On his website, if you go to it, it says Tyler Sinertia, a.k.a. Gooch. So there you go.
Nice. Massive Lyndon Gooch guy.
I think Hook's a little bit more marketable. Rather than...
Send Gooch.
Yeah, rather than just the space between your bum and your boss. Not great. The third question on this wonderful quiz. Right. Tying in with someone we spoke about earlier. Which of the following was not used by William Regal as an insult towards Chris Jericho in Regal's recent exclusive interview with What Culture's Adam Wilborn? Available on YouTube now and probably the podcast feed very soon. A, wrong'un. B, tosspot. C, wanker. Or D, trout slapper.
Phil.
Phil, this is unfair because you edited the video.
I edited the video, but wanker.
Yeah. Correct. He did not call him a wanker. That might be a surprise to our American listeners. I think when Americans put on a British accent, they always call people wankers.
Even
don't
in the Simpsons.
Yeah, it's quality. I love it. My favorite thing is, and I'm sure they laugh at us doing American voices, but Americans doing British impressions cracks me up all the time, even when it's really bad. I think it's great.
You bloody wanker.
Yeah, but I'm gonna sit down and have a wank, are you? Fish and chips. It's great.
Personally, I think their impressions are wicked pisser. And they sound dead smart.
Wicked pisser? What are you on about?
Boston.
I'm going to pack my card and have a yard. That kind of vibe. There you go. The Departed. Wait. Right, so that's what's that? 2-1 to Phil.
Got nice chinos there. Well, I call them khakis. No, that's what I open my Ford Pinto with.
You got to stop this. Right. People from Boston currently raging. Question number 4. This is a boring question. I'm very sorry. The Hardys will face the Young Bucks, Double or Nothing, in a tag team dream match. This will be the X time they have fought each other in a straight up 2-on-2 match in wrestling. So what number in the Hardys versus Young Bucks series is this?
Thumb flip.
Wow.
Third match.
That's what I was going to say.
No, dude.
The options are set A, second. B, first. C, 10th. Or D, 7.
Interesting.
Third isn't even there, baby.
I can't be 7. Is it not? It's not just the second, is it? They had the ladder match in Ring of Honor, but I thought they had another one in Ring of Honor. How many? They kind of had 7, too.
No, dear, that's wrong. What?
7.
7?
I haven't written them down, which I should have, but on Cage Match, listed at least. Maybe they've had more secretly. 7. This will be match number 7. A bunch of indie matches, various bits and pieces. Over there, I imagine they've probably had one in like places like NEW that book lots of like big names.
I'm amazed we didn't book it.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like something we should have put together. Okay, so still 2-1 to Phil, heading into question number 5 here. Wardlow's first AEW vignette aired at All Out 2019. You remember it. It was him beating up a bunch of dudes on a building. It was like a weird, sexy action great, movie thing. It was so weird. It was awesome. And the name Wardlow showed up and we're like, eh?
Yeah.
And now he rules. It's great. So Anna Jay, Alan Angels, and Lee Johnson were all involved in that vignette before they were famous. But who was the third man trying to beat Wardlow up? Now, quite a collection of people I've got here. A, was it Charlie the prop designer? B, Willie the popcorn vendor? C, Frankie the lighting operator? Or D, Tommy the twat?
Hamlet, is it C?
Running out of ideas there at the end, were we?
How do you know it's not the answer, Phil? C, Hamlet. Yeah. Frankie the lighting operator.
Aye. No, dear, that's wrong.
Oh. It was not Frankie the lighting.
The popcorn guy.
It's Tommy the twat, man.
No, dear, that's wrong.
It was not the popcorn guy. It was Charlie, the prop designer, who I am told is actually a semi-regular on Sammy Guevara's vlogs. So I'm generally of the Bryan Danielson persuasion when it comes to vlogs, but, you know, I'm an old grumpy man. It's not for me. Fair play. There we go. Charlie. Shout out to Charlie. Surprisingly, it wasn't Tommy the twat.
I want Charlie, the prop designer, to get me more work. Yeah. Just some of these pay-per-views set up a little bit. Get him chips back.
Yeah.
Give Charlie prop designer something nice to do.
Yeah. He can make a chainsaw.
Yep.
Something like that.
They don't need the Cody, like,
yes,
chandelier thing in the middle anymore. Get rid of that.
So. Put something in.
Put some fun.
Put like involved, Charlie.
Yeah. Like a tombstone or something for Penta. Put some names on it. Right. Number 6. Daniel Garcia has worked one match for WWE NXT, and it happened in January 2021. He actually had another... I think it was a 205 Live match about 4 years prior to that. But in January 2021, he wrestled Tyler Rust on NXT TV. What was the ring name used by Mr. Garcia on this match? Was it A, Daniel Garcia? Was it B, Danny Diaz? Was it C, Dante Rios? Or was it D, Drew Shakespeare?
Hamlet.
Hi.
Is it Dante Rios?
That's what I would have gone with.
Yay!
It was Dante Rios, one and done. Yeah. WWE started appearing more regularly in AEW.
To SA.
I certainly hope so. I hope it was a cross between SA Rios and Dante's Inferno.
I was just going to say, if he takes the fireball off the wizard Chris Jericho, it can be Dante's Inferno.
I thought you were going to say take the fireball off someone else there. Right, let's move on to our next question. 2-2. Very good. Number 7. Which of the following has not been used by Pac as a nickname, not a ring name, a nickname, at any point in his career, even when he was fanning around wrestling guys in forests or whatever it was he did, right. Whatever it was he did when he was really young. A, the new sensation. B, Super Superman. C, Beautiful Shooting Star. And he is. Or D, the Jordy Arrow. Which one of those is he not used?
Phil, why not? The Beautiful Shooting Star.
No, dear, that's wrong.
He did, according to Cage Match, have that as a nickname. Incredible. At one point. Could be wrong. Sounds weird.
Yeah.
I used to watch him in social clubs in the Northeast, but he was the man that gravity forgot by then.
Jungle Pack.
Pre and post Jungle Pack.
Pre and post
the Jungle Pack excursion.
Benjamin Satterley or something. That's his real name, isn't it?
Yeah, he had Jurassic 5 as his theme song back then as well.
Wow.
He went to Ben Satterley's MySpace page. Incredible. Like the J5 music would pop up and then he'd always bring music.
What's Golden or something like that?
I think it might have been.
Yeah. Concrete things.
I can't remember which one it
Streets.
Was.
Schoolyards,
that's it. What have you got, brother?
I don't know. What are the options again?
The new sensation, Super Superman, or the Jordy Arrow?
I'll go with Super Superman.
That was the one. That's wrong.
The Jordy Arrow. That's the one I put a little bit of effort into, and when he's from Newcastle, his finisher has the word arrow in it. There you go.
Worked, you got us.
Yeah.
So we are still 2-2. Really abysmal effort here. We've got a trio of questions to go. Number 8. In the studio version of Rancid's smash punk hit Ruby Soho, what genre of music is echoing through singer Tim Armstrong's wall in the very first line? That's quite a good question, unless you haven't listened to Rancid before.
What's the song called? Ruby Soho?
Ruby Soho.
Whose entrance theme is that?
Britt Baker.
Tony Khan's.
Destination Untone. Right. Well, genre of music is echoing through Tim Armstrong's walls in the first line of that song. A, punk, obviously. B, reggae. C, dub, or D, symphonic black metal.
Ooh.
Echoes of a music genre coming through my bedroom wall.
Hamlet.
Yo.
B.
Yo.
Yo.
B. Reggae.
Yeah, why not?
Yay!
There we go.
Owns a copy of And Out Come the Wolves on vinyl. That's Michael Hamlet.
It was Shine by Aswad in the song as well.
Shawaddy Waddy. Remember them? Tremendous. Prefab Sprout. Anyway, question number 9.
Prefab Sprout.
Just name stuff.
Hot dog, jumping frog, Albuquerque.
Right. Question number 9 takes us back to our very good friend Ricky Starks. Speaking of interviews, if you would like to hear an exclusive interview of Ricky Starks conducted by our very good friend Andrew Pollard, that will be going up soon as well. Do you know the time of that one, Phil?
Well, it was going to go up on YouTube today, but it depends on when this bloody podcast finishes.
Well, we're barely going to move on.
Probably be up on the YouTube channel by the time this is out.
There you go. And we've got an interview with Jamie Hayter coming out as well.
That will be on Sunday.
So, sensational stuff. Ahead of their Philadelphia street fight in October 2021, when Brian Cage tweeted Ricky Starks asking, and I quote, "Where is the Philly street fight at?" How did Ricky Starks respond on Twitter? A, the space between your two brain cells, idiot. B, your mother's house. C, in Philly, you big dumb bitch. Or D, rampage, you moron.
Phil.
When
you first said it, I was like, in Philadelphia, probably. I'm going to go with that one.
In Philly, you big dumb.
Yay!
There we go. He did a stunning turn of Twitter form there from Richard Starks. What on earth is the score? Is it?
I think it's 3s each, isn't it?
Threes each, I think.
All right, let's go with that.
Is this the last question?
Yeah, it means unless you both ruin
this one. We either both
have
to get it or neither of us get it and then we get a gulp.
So this is This is not a wrestler who's going to be on the card, but it's a city that's going to be on the card. Why did I squeak this?
City.
It's going to be a monster. Question number 10. Which of the following was Great O'Khan, the legend, not photographed doing in Las Vegas this week?
He's in one of them, I think.
Yeah, we all woke up on Thursday and saw the images of him living his best life in Las Vegas after an interesting debut on Dynamite. He's not on the card, but you know. Question A, was he not performing his signature Iron Claw on a strip club bouncer?
I mean, Iron Claw!
Was he B, sitting on a giant phallus? C, getting whipped in a restaurant? Or D, posing with two topless women? What of those was he not doing? Or at least photographed? He could have done anything for all we know.
One of them that he was doing.
Hamlet.
Yeah.
Sitting on a giant phallus.
No, dear.
He was sitting at the end of a giant willy.
Sitting on the giant gallus.
I am going to say the claw one because he wasn't there for wrestling, was he? He was there for other
things. No, Phil, don't do it. No, change my mind.
Phil wins.
I just wanted to win.
There was no photographic evidence of the Great O'Khan putting a strip club bouncer in the Iron Claw, which is good because he probably would have got beaten up. Although maybe not. Actually,
give it a few more days. They're in Vegas till Sunday.
Yeah. Shout out to the Great O'Khan, who I think we saw actually his first ever match, didn't we, Hamlet? Yeah, after the gimmick change when they ran a UK show in Altrincham here. He was wrestling someone, Danny Duggan, I think it was, on the undercard. And Tommy Yukioka, of course, who we'd seen as a young lion in New Japan. And he just came out with this question mark over his face.
Question mark on a towel over his face.
Yeah, and this wacky music. And we didn't know what it was. We didn't know like the lore of this gimmick. And he had the robes and everything. We were just like, what? We misheard the announcement calling him Great O'Khan and thought his name was Karen.
Karen.
Karen, the big question. Was like,
yeah, literally for 4 years we've been calling this guy Karen.
And now he rules.
But I believe it's like, it's the imagery of it with the towel, question mark and all that stuff. I think it's related to like a mythological zombie or something.
Okay.
From back in the day. So there you go. There's lore of the Karen. But yeah, shout outs to the Great O'Khan. He had a great time in Las Vegas. Phil, for winning, you get to do a haiku.
I have to?
No, you don't. Right.
This wrestling podcast is bad. Very, 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 very bad. Don't listen anymore. Except do.
Just like how you count berries one syllable berry. Over again.
Oh yeah,
there's like seven berries there. Very, 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 very. Phil, can I just stop it there?
You've broken the cycle already.
Just fill it with as many syllables as possible. And hey, you know what? When I asked Adam Wilborn about hosting this while he was off this afternoon, he briefly gave it second thoughts, but then he decided,
we're gonna do it anyway.
There we go. So contrived. And then I fell over and I went like this. Right.
And then I fell over.
Yeah. And then you're going to have to deal with the eel. So thank you to those of you who have made it through this absolute calamity. This has gone very long. We are not sorry because it has conveniently taken me to within 2 minutes of me going home. So this has worked out perfectly for me. Unlucky for you guys. You can follow us on What Culture. No, you can follow us on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow Philip Chambers at
Fill My Chambers, and you can follow Hamlet at
Michael Hamlet, and you can follow Andy Murray at.
I probably don't actually, lads. It's probably for the best. Right, cheers for joining us. Thanks for enduring the chaos, and we will see you soon. Also, mind that there's an audience as well. So there you go.
Wrestling.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.